Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 317, Pray Strong. Pastors Harley Coulterman and Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 7th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So praise the Lord. So all of you have probably heard messages on unity before, you know, working together, being in unity, being in harmony, and the benefits of that for your own personal life and for the ministry and for all of those things. But never in the history of any nation has our country, our people, the place where we live, needed unity. And if that doesn't start in the church, where is it going to start? It's not going to start in the news media. It's not going to start in the government, obviously. It's not going to start at election time, for sure. But it can start in our hearts that we want to be in unity with each other and flowing with the Holy Spirit, flowing together with God. So let's just open with prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for a spirit of unity coming over us. We invite you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We understand that you're always with us. You're always in us. You never leave us, never forsake us. But we invite you to manifest yourself today or reveal yourself today in a special way that brings unity in our hearts and that brings harmony in our operation of the ministry. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And as we talk about it with specifics towards prayer this morning, we ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear and that we'd be able to yield ourselves and obey you and honor you in our prayer time, honor you in our worship time, and honor you with everything that we do. For it's in Jesus' majestic name that we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So, Pastor Sarah, we want to talk today about praying strong. I know you've already sort of mini introduced that, but God has been really dealing with us as leadership, as a leadership group, that to go into this next season, that we need to kick it up a level, especially in the area of prayer. So most of you know that we had a prayer leader, Cheryl, amazing prayer leader. She's in heaven probably leading prayer somewhere this morning.
Yes.
And she was really strong, and she had her own style. But it was really easy to rally around her because of her enthusiasm and because of her commitment to prayer. You could tell that she didn't just start praying yesterday, you know, that she had a lifestyle of prayer and that lifestyle of prayer was carried into her leadership function in the congregation. And so it was really, really powerful. So we lost Cheryl, but we didn't lose Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We lost Cheryl, but we didn't lose, well, we didn't really lose her. She just graduated. But anyway, Cheryl's gone, but the Holy Spirit didn't leave, right? Amen. So the Holy Spirit didn't leave, and God didn't leave, and the Father didn't leave. So, you know, they're still all working together, and they're in harmony. I can assure you they're in unity and harmony. And if you don't believe it, just read the Gospels, read what Jesus said. So, so Pastor Sarah, what has God been showing you about some of these things? Lead us into this.
Yeah, so I got a download. Am I not on?
Helps to be switched on.
Yeah, it does help. Okay, there we go. All right, now you can hear me. Praise God. Okay. The Lord's just really been highlighting unity, like Pastor Harley said, and within that, prayer. How do we pray in unity? And he spoke to me the other day. I got this full download about praying strong. And it was sort of like God was saying, I want you to like present this praying strong like a campaign, like together, like exhort the people, bring the people together that we can pray strong in order to have no gaps in the wall, right? So we can work together and accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish.
Yeah, so no gaps in the wall. That's important, amen? So, I mean, get this vision of the wall. I know most of you have read the book of Nehemiah, which we'll refer to in a few minutes. But the wall was broken down, but it was worse in some places than other places. And then the people got together to work, and they started to build it up, but there were still places where there was no wall. And obviously walls are for protection against the enemy. Mm-hmm. So we don't want any places where he can sneak through. So probably experienced in your own life, there are some places where the devil has sneaked in. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we let the door open and he just comes in the door. But there are other times when we have broken places in our lives or broken places in the wall. And, you know, maybe it's from past, our past. You know, there's some things in our past we haven't dealt with or something like that. And there's like an opening there. And guess what? You know, he finds those openings.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. But us praying together in unity, we can cover. We can cover each other. We can cover so that there are no gaps in the wall. And so when he said to me, pray strong, I said, okay, like a campaign, like what does that look like? What does that mean to pray strong? And so he spoke three things to me. Pray in unity, he said, which is what we're talking about, right? And Sister Carissa this morning in prayer talked about Ephesians 4, I believe it's verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Are you making every effort? If each one of us is making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace in your home, in your marriage, here, you know, in this context, we're talking about our church family and what the Lord has set before us to do in 2023 and with the tent meeting. We want to work together. We want to all pull the same direction, because otherwise we're split, trying to go different ways, and nobody goes anywhere.
Yes, so it's... one of the notes came from Acts chapter 4, verse 24, about having a collective voice before God, or harmony, like a harmony of a full orchestra. So if you think about that for just a moment, you know, what's the opposite of harmony? The opposite of harmony is some kind of discord, or what are they? Mm-hmm. All you musicians, what is it? Cacophony or something like that?
Discord, yeah.
So when there's no harmony, it's hard to follow. Because, like, for example, if we're singing together, we're worshiping together, and I'm really off key, I can pull everybody else off key. But if I just bring it down a notch, you know, everybody else can come into harmony together, and we all move like in unity. So when Sister Denise was here, Denise Shaw, and she was teaching on prayer, one of the things she talked about is finding the sound of heaven and unifying around that sound. So the Bible talks about that there's a sound in heaven that's the sound of worship and the sound of praise. And all around the throne room, the people are worshiping God. The elders are worshiping God. If you read Revelation, there's some strange things that we have hard times understanding about the beasts that are around there worshiping God. I mean, you know, some of the old English kind of throws us off with that. I'm sure they're beautiful creatures, you know, something created by God, and they're worshiping God, and they're in harmony, and they're bringing this praise, this magnificent praise to God, because it's all together. In heaven will be a noisy place, so if you don't like noise, you're probably not going to like heaven, so maybe you should just stay away, you know, just don't accept Jesus, stay away, because it's going to be noisy up there, because people are shouting, and people are worshiping God, and people are bringing a praise to God, and they're in harmony. When you're in harmony, it's a greater sound, it's a fuller sound, it's a stronger sound, it's a forceful sound, mm-hmm. And we have lots to look forward to, but we have lots that we can learn and grow in here on this earth if we would just begin to practice what Jesus taught as one of the most important things, and Paul as well, is unity in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, this verse in Acts 4 that Pastor Harley mentioned, verse 24, is when Peter and John previous to this, in Acts chapter 3, they pray for the man at the gate, beautiful, and he gets healed. And the people are in uproar over this. So they get put in prison, and then they release them, and they put them before the elders and the rulers and the leaders of the place, of the city. And they are basically interrogating them, right? And so then they're released. In verse 23, this is Acts 4, 23, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, and so they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And then it says, when they heard this, the people that Peter and John were talking to, their own people, they raised their voice. I know in ESV it says voices, but in King James, if you look at the King James, it says they raised their, which is they and their are plural. Those of you that, who was an English major? Nobody? Okay, that's plural. That's a collective group, all of them, right? They and their. But it doesn't say, in King James, it doesn't say voices. It says voice. They raised their voice. So it's this idea of together in unity, they melded together in harmony, each voice bringing its aspect, but then before God, that was lifted up as one voice, one collective voice. So when we're in unity, it's a beautiful sound, and it's a beautiful sound to the heart of the Father, and he hears that one collective voice, just like he did here with Peter and John. And then you see the result of it if you keep reading. So they start to pray. I won't read the whole prayer for the sake of time, but they start and they say, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? So they go on. The prayer goes on. And then basically, they say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, they were just told to stop talking about Jesus, right? And their prayer, they're being persecuted. And their prayer back to God is, give us more boldness. Like, Holy Spirit, turn up the volume even more. They were not afraid. This really impacts me. So then it says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. In other words, we're not telling us to be quiet and to stop talking. We want you to use us. We want to be used as instruments together for you, Jesus, to reach out and heal and touch people. So the result of that in verse 31, it says, after they prayed, that bold prayer for more boldness, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Wow. So our prayer in unity, one voice, can bring the presence of God into a place to the point where we can shake this place. But we've got to all be in unity, praying in one heart, one spirit through the bond of peace, right? And so it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That means nobody was left out. Nobody's thinking, I'm not good enough for this. No, we're all raising our voice collectively before God. He hears us. The place was shaken. The presence of God was there. We were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I think that's awesome, Pastor Harley.
That's amazing. Yeah, awesome, amazing, because what happened there is the spiritual kind of invaded the earth and became the physical shaking. I mean, sometimes, you know, we think about that, we're just like, how could that possibly happen? But the power of prayer is so great, mm-hmm. the power of unity in prayer is so great, that it can actually physically shake a place as well as spiritually shake the hearts of people. So it's pretty amazing, you know, what God can do when we just get in line with his word. So I think the other thing that strikes me about that is it says they lifted their voice. It means that they collectively found the sound, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they all found that sound. And it reminds me, too, of what happened when the Holy Spirit came on the church for the first time. It says that you know, basically the Holy Spirit fell on those 120 up in that room. It says they were sitting, so they weren't even kneeling and folding their hands to pray. They were sitting in this place. The Holy mm-hmm. Spirit came, and there was a tremendous sound. The Bible says it was like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. So the writers of the New Testament, they had to use description of something that they related to. You know, I suppose today we would use maybe we would use a different picture. We maybe would like say you're at Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy, or somewhere down in Florida where they're launching rockets. And, you know, if you've ever listened to that sound, if you've ever been there when they've actually launched one of those rockets, you know, that they were going to explore the moon or something, you know, or just to send something up in the air, a satellite up in the air, it's a tremendous sound. And even if you just watch it on TV, it's like a roar. But this sound came into that place as they unified their voices together. And then it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were joining that sound from heaven that came. And that sound from heaven and the sound from the people drew the attention of thousands of people that had come to Jerusalem to worship God in a special way at the feast, at the festival, the Feast of Pentecost that they were having. And it turned into a gospel meeting where Peter preached the gospel to them clearly. And the Bible says hearts were touched, and that day 3,000 came into the church. Isn't that amazing? You know, the church didn't start little, it started big. The first day of the church was 3,000 plus 120 plus, you know, whoever else was standing around there and got hit with the Holy Ghost. So that's what unity in prayer can do through the power of the Holy Spirit coming into that place and finding that place in unity. And one other thing I want to just say about that is, in your prayer closet at your house, or if you're maybe your whole house is your prayer closet, but whatever it is, you can pray however you want. Use whatever sound that ministers to you and to the Holy Spirit. That sound, amen? You should lift your voice to God because you have a voice. And in that place, it should be a place of preparation so that when you come into the body, that we can lift our voice collectively as one in this place and come to a place in God that's new and different and great and awesome and that shakes the world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But in your own private prayer time, you pray however you want. You know, you can pray as loud or as soft or as whatever, you know, however the Holy Spirit is leading you. But when you come into the body, then we have to do things that bring order and sometimes structure so that we can do things together in unity. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
So also the Lord was showing you some things about praying in faith.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that about?
Yes. So that's the second part. So we talked about praying in unity when I said, well, what does pray strong mean? Pray in unity, which we talked about. Praying in faith. We have to, without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? And so he wants us to come before him, lifting up our collective voice. In this case, our current assignment is to pray for the tent meeting, right? In faith, with expectation that something's going to happen, that we're going to have a move of God, that it's not just going to be another meeting where we just decide to put up a tent and, you know, well, we hope people come, you know. No, we're believing that people will come,
yes,
that our neighbors are going to come, that people are going to be touched by the power of God, because we've been praying in unity and we will be joining with Kingdom Pursuit. We'll be praying and lifting up that collective voice, and the place is going to shake.
Yes.
Yeah. And the neighborhoods, the people that don't come in the beginning, they're going to be shaken and like, what's going on over there? We're coming because something's happening over there. We want to go where there's life, where there's presence of God.
There's a new sound from heaven in the neighborhood.
Amen. Woo!
Glory to God.
It's a good one.
No, I think that's absolutely essential and awesome, because the Bible says faith is the substance of things we hope for, and it's the evidence of things we cannot see. So today, you know, when we don't see a tent there, and we don't see people there physically, but in our heart and in our spirit, we can see a tent there and we can see people there. And our faith begins to take a hold of that thing that we hope for. and become the evidence of the thing that we cannot see until we can see it.
Amen.
Until the Monday when the tent goes up and we begin to pray and then go to the neighborhoods with the flyers and so forth and so on. We can then see it in our hearts up to that point and in faith begin to receive the results of what will happen as a result of prayer and as a result of coming together with Kingdom Pursuit. And I can assure you that they are praying already over these meetings. They've been praying since we set this up some time ago. Actually, last year we set this up already with them because they only had a few time slots open, but because they traveled to 48 states with 7 families in motorhomes, and they do this from community to community to community to community. What a sacrifice, you know. These people are laying down their lives so that Wayne can pull.
Amen.
And they're bringing their families. Their kids are all with them. Last year, they had a lot of fun in the pool and everything. But, you know, it's amazing that families will just lay down their lives and make that sacrifice so that somebody else can hear, somebody else can receive the gospel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Mark 11, 23 and 24 talk about what Pastor Harley's saying here, that we have to believe that we've received it when we pray, like
yes.
We see it, right? And so Matthew 11, 23, it says, truly, you know that when Jesus, and that's in red, so it's Jesus talking, when Jesus says truly, you better listen up. You better listen. Truly, like for real, guys, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, that's a key for being in faith, not doubting in your heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So if we say that we're going to have lots of people from the neighborhood and unsaved people coming to the tent meeting, we should believe and not doubt in our heart that that's going to happen. And then verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe at the time of prayer, the time that you pray, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Wow. That's awesome. It's simple.
You notice it talks more about saying than it talks about believing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important what you say, because the word says you will have what you say if you believe and doubt not, basically, is the essential thing. So when we're believing in our heart and we're beginning to say those things that we're saying and believing in our heart will come to pass. And that's why we teach people to confess the word of God over their situation, their circumstance, whatever. This has many applications, but it especially has the application because we know it's the will of God for people to come to him, to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. We know it's his will for that to happen. And yet he's expecting us to play a part in that, starting with prayer and ending with ministry time. So we're not getting together just because we needed something to do in the end of May. We're because sometimes, you know, May, the weather isn't even nice. So we're believing for good weather. We're believing for nice weather. We're believing that it's not going to be a mud hole out there in the field, you know, when we want to park cars. But we're thankful that God gives us this opportunity for the gospel to impact our city and for God to move in a powerful way. Last year, we had some amazing times when God just really set people free during those meetings. I mean, I can still see some of the guys from Teen Challenge that came from Jasper and from Elkhart and other places that came and got freedom in that tent meeting. It was an amazing, amazing time where God moved in some special ways. It was kind of like a shaking, you know, like that we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a result of prayer, it's a result of faith, and it's a result of faithfulness. So when we're asking you to join the prayer team, when we're asking you to join the Helps ministry team, you have a big part in what will be a time for somebody to receive their freedom, to receive their salvation, receive blessing.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to just share some of the verses, just highlight again from the morning prayer time that Sister Carissa and Sister Julie shared. So this can help us. The Word of God can unify us, bring unity so that we are in faith. Okay, what are we praying for the tent meeting? And he mentioned a few things, but these are specific verses that they shared that let's pray together in unity, because the word of God will unite us so that we're all going that direction. So let's go in the direction of Luke 19:10. You can write these down. I'm not going to read them, but you can write them down, and then this is what we're praying together so that we're in faith and in unity. Luke 19, verse 10, and then 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19, and then Colossians 1, 9 through 13. I got it right? I think those are the ones. Yeah. And the Ephesians 4. Yep. And I said that one at the beginning. Yep. Ephesians 4, 3. That's make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
Amen. So we referred a couple of times to the book of Nehemiah this morning, several places. You recall that Nehemiah was an important person for the king of Persia, or the ruler of Persia. Nehemiah was the cupbearer, and he was a man who understood authority and was under authority. So one of the things that you could say about Nehemiah was that he followed leadership. He didn't just go out and do his own thing. He decided that his heart was broken about what happened to Israel, his homeland, and that the walls were broken down and that the temple was not functioning, was destroyed. And he wanted to bring restoration to his land. So he went to his authority, the person in authority over him, and he asked permission to go back to his country and to repair the destruction where the walls had been destroyed, and to build up the walls and to restore the protection around Jerusalem, and to basically set up the place and the way that worship of God, the only true God, would be restored, so that his people could once again worship God in the temple. But before they could do that, they had to have protection from the enemies that were around. So there are a lot of verses here in Nehemiah. We would encourage you to read the whole chapter 4. Really, you should read the whole book. It's an amazing book of restoration and strength, and what God will do with people who will get together in unity. But we want to focus on chapter 4 today. And several of the verses there that really bring this out.
Mm-hmm. And so this Nehemiah 4 illustrates the third point of what the Lord spoke to me when I was asking about pray strong. So we have pray in unity, pray in faith. And the third thing he said was pray in focus. What does that mean? To have your attention on the target, like Nehemiah 4, he said to me. Like in Nehemiah 4, read Nehemiah 4 and then you'll understand. And so as I was reading through Nehemiah 4, I was like, yeah, they were intentional. They had their eye on the target. They were attentive and watchful, and they had clear vision for the walls to be restored. And so that's how we want to pray, in focus, knowing where we're going. So we can apply this then, Nehemiah 4, to, you know, our prayer efforts. Specifically, we're talking about, you know, the tent meeting. So verse 1, it says, when Sanballat, well, who's Sanballat? He was an enemy. He was, I forget which, he was a Samarite, I believe, or Haranite, the same, one's more specific than the other, right? But he was an enemy that... Basically, the enemies were stirred up when they found out that the rebuilding was happening. So verse 1 in Nehemiah 4, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. Wow. So we can expect some opposition. We're rebuilding the walls, the rebuilding the walls of prayer here, filling in the gaps. And the enemy is the defeated one, I like to call him, more than the enemy, because he's already been defeated by King Jesus. Yes. You know, we remind him, you've been defeated. That, you know, he's gonna ridicule. He's going to try to stir stuff up. He's going to be upset. And you can see that verse 1 through like 3 there. They're teasing. Will they offer sacrifices? Will they restore their wall, these feeble Jews? Will they finish in a day? Like, how is this going to happen? Right? But they did it. They had their eye on the target, the eye on the prize of the rebuilding. And so if you drop down to like verse 6, it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. Wow. So they're getting somewhere. They're advancing. They rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. They were all in, each one of them. So there's unity again. They worked, and in unity with each one bringing their whole heart, they were committed. They were all into it. Then verse 7, here comes Sanballat with his other friends, other enemies. When Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were really happy and excited? No, what does your Bible say? Angry. They were mad. They were furious. How dare they advance? How dare they do this? And then it says they plotted. Oh, man, they're plotting against us. They plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. So how did they respond? In fear, well, we should just stop them. We should just back down. No. Right? Look at verse 9. It tells you what they did. It says, but we prayed to our God. When you feel like the enemy is pushing you into a corner and maybe I should just stop. No, better you pause and reach out to God. Better you raise your voice to God, right? Pray to God. And it says, we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. That's part of praying strong. Like, I think of the song, the fire on the altar never burns out. Day and night, collectively, day and night, like, you know, let's do just a prayer chain among us. Let's be praying against what the enemy is trying to do night and day. We can post a guard to meet this threat. We're going to meet the threat because we have King Jesus. We're on the side of King Jesus, and yes. He's stronger.
Amen.
Right? So then verse 10. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Wow.
Yeah, so let's stop there for just a second here. So one of the things about what we've just been talking about here is this following leadership. Because the enemy was great, but they believed that God was greater. Mm-hmm. And when they were able to follow leadership, when leadership was saying, hey, let's go for it, let's stand, let's guard this wall day and night. And they even did things like, you know, they would put their working tools in one hand and their fighting tools in the other hand. Mm-hmm. And they were, I mean, that's like working with a handicap, I guess, you know, like can you imagine trying to build a wall when you're carrying armaments in the other hand, and being watchful. So you're being focused on the wall, but you're also watchful for the enemy. But that's a picture of how believers should be in their own personal lives, in their families, in their homes, in the ministry. You know, you can't just sit down. You know, there's my pastor used to say, you know, you can sleep when you get to heaven if you want to. But down here, you better keep your eyes open. You better watch and pray. You better be engaged. You better be focused. You better be ready for battle. You know, the Bible uses, the writers of the Bible use the picture of armaments and those things many times as a picture of the believer, as a picture of the follower of God. So we can't just sit by. We can't just sit, you know, I'm just tired. I want to rest. I just want to be comfortable. Yeah, I know you're from America, right?
Uh-oh.
Just give me my Whataburger really fast, you know, because, you know, Jerry Savelle used to do a message about, you know, driving through the drive-thru, and they would lob the sandwich through the window so you didn't even have to stop your car, you know. You already paid for it, so you just throw it in the window as you go by, you know. That's how fast we want stuff, you know. But working for the kingdom of God doesn't allow us that liberty of comfort and ease and just take it easy and whatever will be, because, you know, whatever will be might be, and it might not be so good. Amen. The condition of our nation is because a lot of believers have kind of set back and said, well, I can't do anything about it. It's okay. It'll be fine. God will take care of it. God's in control of everything. Yes, he is in control of everything, but he's given us a job to do. And our job is to watch and pray. Our job is to stand in the gap. Our job is to be the watchman on the wall, so to speak. Amen? Amen. So we can't just take it easy down here. Sorry, you're in the army now. You know, you heard little guy Pachter talking about how great it was to be in the army. So he's in the infantry special forces. So you know that he's going to be one of the first ones into battle. But look at the attitude that he has about what he's doing and why he's there. He's there to encourage the other people who are even unbelievers, you know. What an amazing testimony. Praise the Lord. So I want to share with you from a scripture from 1 Corinthians 14 quickly. It says, beloved friends, what does this imply? This is under the heading in most of the Bibles. It says, I think, order in the church or order in the services, something like that. This particular version, the Passion Version, says guidelines for use of the gifts. But it says, beloved friends, what does this imply? When you conduct your meetings, you should always let everything done be done to build up the church family. And whether you share a song of praise, a teaching, a divine revelation, or a tongue, an interpretation, let each one contribute what strengthens others. In other words, we're supposed to come together for each other, not for myself. When I'm in my prayer closet, I can just do however I want, whenever I want. I can bombard heaven, loud, soft, strong, sweetly, singing, doing it however. But when we come together, we have to do it in such a way that everybody is included, that we bring the whole body together. Mm-hmm. So he says, let each one contribute what strengthens others. If someone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or three, one after another, with one interpreting. If there's no one with interpretation, then he should remain silent in the meeting, content to speak to himself and God. So if you get something and there's nobody to interpret it, it's okay. Speak quietly to yourself and to God, because that's what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. That's fine. But if it's not gonna have an interpretation, a message from God that's not gonna have an interpretation, just keep it to yourself and speak it to God. Praise the Lord. It'll be okay. Verse 29 says, and the same with prophecy. Let two or three prophets prophesy, and let the other prophets carefully evaluate and discern what is being said. So that speaks of following leadership. These other prophets are in leadership, and so their job is to discern what's being said to make sure that it's on target with what the Holy Spirit is doing. In other words, they're interpreting the move of the Spirit for the service. So that's the job of leadership. The job of leadership, the job of fivefold ministry, is to edify or build up the church body and to equip the people, equip the church body for the work of the ministry. So we're not doing this because we want to be leaders and stand up here and talk to you and talk down at you. We're doing this because we want you to be built up, and we want you to be prepared and equipped to be who you are and what you should be and what God is calling you to be outside of this place. Because you spend most of the time outside of this place, not inside this place. Amen?
Yeah.
So it's important that you're equipped. So just using the example of Guy the soldier, he's equipped to be who God called him to be in that army unit, that IDF unit in Israel. He's equipped because his parents have equipped him, his church has equipped him, and they've launched him into a ministry in the IDF. Every 18-year-old has to go to the IDF, boys for 3 years, the girls for 2 years. They have to serve. They don't get a choice. It's not, I can do this if I feel like it or if I want to be, a soldier. This is about the defense of our nation. So we should have that same attitude about the body of Christ for our nation doing this. Praise the Lord. So then verse 30 says, but if someone receives a revelation while someone else is still speaking, the one speaking should conclude and allow the one with fresh revelation the opportunity to share it. So when there's unity, there's room for everybody. There's room for the move of the Spirit amongst us in special ways. Then it says, for you can all prophesy in turn and all in an environment where all present can be instructed and encouraged and strengthened. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What does that mean? That means if the Holy Spirit is moving on you, you still have control. You don't have to say everything the Holy Spirit tells you or downloads to you. Some things are for you. Some things are for private. Some things are for being shared in the body. But when we're walking in unity, it will all come out right, because the persons who are supposed to share will share. The persons who are supposed to be quiet will be quiet. And that's how it works. Amen? Because we're moving in the same direction. For it says, verse 33, this is the most important part about this. For God is a God of harmony, not of confusion. Everybody say, he's a God of harmony.
He's a God of harmony.
Not of confusion.
Not of confusion.
So that's where God is wanting to bring us in this, to a place of harmony and place of unity, so that we can be the powerful entity that God has called us to be in this city. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then he says, as is the pattern in all the churches of God's holy believers. So he said, this is a pattern. So that pattern never stopped when these people went to heaven. That pattern continued on. Praise the Lord. So continue.
Okay. So it's perfect place to pick back up and just review the verse 10, where the people in Judah were saying, got discouraged, and they were saying, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's too much rubble that we cannot build the wall. So we got to get the rubble out so we can rebuild the wall. And I think in this case, the rubble is talking about disunity, discord. You know, if all the picture, all these bricks and blocks, and there's just all this rubble around, we can't build it up, you know? And so just, we need to work together so that to keep in unity, the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because the opposite of that is rubble. It's rubble in our lives. It's going to cause problems. We're not going to build up, and we're not going to be able to advance together if we're comparing ourselves to one another, or, you know, somebody's trying to take the lead and let's all go over here, stray everybody off course. No, we need to be in unity together. So everybody say, get the rubble out.
Get the rubble out.
Yeah, then we'll be able to rebuild the wall. No strife, no offense. Those things are rubble, and they cause difficulty and obstacles in our life.
I notice there in verse 13, too, it talks about how families gather together to take a specific place by the wall. So apparently these families lived in certain areas that were near the places where the breaches were. So that speaks to us of, in the body of Christ, God has placed you strategically, has placed you in a special place for you to pick up your part of the wall to build, your part of the wall to watch, your place to be focused, your place to use your faith, your place to come into unity and to bring your family to that place of strength and unity. Because this is not just for blessing of everybody. This is for blessing of you, and this is for the blessing of your family. So, I mean, we know that America has many broken families, and there's all kinds of problems and marriages and troubles and situations and circumstances, but God's answer for it is powerful prayer and unity. And when you're unifying for the betterment of the whole community, you are sowing seed for what will come back to you and your own family, for change to come in your own personal life and your personal walk and your walk together with your spouse, your walk together with your kids, you know. So important to reach the next generation and to bring them to a place of victory in the midst of rubble and ruin that's in our country. Yep. So I think that's really an important aspect of that, that they're covering these areas, these breaches by families. And that's where encouragement comes, right?
Yes. Yeah. Verse 14, the encouragement comes where Nehemiah stands up and says to the people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. In other words, don't worry about the, don't focus, don't look at what the enemy is doing. He's defeated anyway. Focus on God. Put your attention on what he's doing. Don't be afraid of them. God is great and awesome, and he's on our side, and he's behind us. So let's go forward with what he's doing. I think that's so important.
Yes.
So important.
And everybody had their jobs, so half of them did the work, then some of them protected the others that were doing the work. Some were equipped with weapons and armors and so forth. But they sort of divided up so that they could conquer the enemy. Mm-hmm. So they were assigned tasks so that they could conquer the enemy. So in every ministry effort, there's an element of assignment. And sometimes they say, well, who made you my boss, you know? Well, it's not about somebody being your boss. It's about leadership, amen? And it's about following leadership. When we follow leadership, leadership isn't perfect. Leadership sometimes makes mistakes.
Amen.
But, you know, if we're humble enough to admit when we make our mistakes and just say, okay, will you forgive me? So let's go on from here. Mm-hmm. Let's keep building from here. Let's work together. And God will do great things. He can handle humble hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Then verse 20, we have the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the shofar, right,
yes.
Pastor Don? Right. It says, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us.
Yes.
So, because they were all spread out doing their different assignments, but they gave them the instruction. When you hear the sound of the shofar, the trumpet blows, come meet us here. And that's how we know our God will fight for us.
So now maybe we don't always use trumpets, but we use the little radios, you know. So if you see somebody with the earpiece and the walkie-talkie, you know that somebody's listening, somebody's watching, and so there's a problem, there's an issue, there's a situation that needs to be taken care of. We can take care of it adequately, but it will already have been covered by prayer, which is the most important thing, because
Amen.
It's our God who's going to give us the victory, not the things that we can do personally or the things that we, the strategies that we have and so forth and so on. We should be prepared, we should be equipped, we should be ready, but then God has to orchestrate and bring us together so that we can accomplish the task in a really beautiful way.
Amen. Amen. And then this chapter ends, the last few verses, talking about that they are continually on guard night and day. It says, verse 22, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve as guards by night and workers by day. No time for sleeping. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each one had his weapons, even when he went for water. In other words, you stay armed all the time. You stay on guard, alert, and ready at all times. And we're gonna see God come through for us.
Yes, but at the tent meeting, we are allowing you to go home and take a shower.
Please do.
It's only one time in my ministry so far that I can remember I didn't often take showers or take the clothes off. It was in Siberia in April, minus 40 degrees in a tent meeting with no heat in the building, no heat in the tent. We were freezing.
You were probably like this.
It was so cold that my pastor took his scarf and wrapped it around the microphone because his hand was freezing to the microphone when he was preaching on faith. I can still hear the message, preaching on faith, the trajectory of faith with Joseph. Just amazing, amazing message that he preached often and in many countries. But we will allow you to go home and take a shower. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Unless the Holy Spirit says otherwise, and you know, we stay in the tent all night and all day, and
oh my,
the power of God.
Oh me.
The pillar of fire comes down on the tent, and the cloud, you know, envelops the tent. You know, we just stay. You know, it's like okay. Use the perfume of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Continually on guard, night
yes.
and day. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. So the context of this whole thing is that Jerusalem was in ruins because they sinned against God. And the whole nation was destroyed and was taken captive. But there is a man who had a vision for restoration and redemption of his people. And he was bold enough to go to his authority and say, "Can I have permission to go back there and rebuild?" And that started off a move of God amongst the people that drew the people together, where they came and they got armed, they got equipped, and they learned to work together in unity and harmony so that they could get the job done, get the task done. And they finished it, I think, 52 days,
Remarkable.
Something like that. I mean, they did an amazing job of finishing that wall in 52 days, and it set up the whole thing for the people returning from captivity and so forth and so on. And we see that happening even today, because the people of Israel are coming home. They're making aliyah to the land of Israel. They're coming back home to their homeland, because the Bible says they're going to come back. They're going to come from the north lands. They're going to come from the south. They're going to come from every nation, and they're going to be restored to the day when Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes back. And Israel will be saved in a day. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And even now, salvation is coming to the household of Israel, because amazing things are happening by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one." Please, for God's sake, don't let that be said of our city.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that be said of our nation. That no one, I looked for somebody, but I couldn't find anybody. God is calling us.
Yeah.
He's not begging us, but he's calling us. And he's giving us an opportunity to take our city back. He's given us an opportunity to take our land back. I know it can be discouraging. You know, you watch the news and you watch all of that garbage, you know. Just don't let your ears be a trash can for somebody else's junk. Just pass it by and get in the Word of God. Stand in faith. Stand in the gap. Pray. Believe God. Trust God. Trust Him for your personal life. Trust Him for your family. Trust Him for your home. Trust Him for your kids. Trust Him for this church family. And let's Amen. Go beyond these walls and do an amazing thing in this city for God. Praise the Lord. We might not be big army, but we're an adequate army, because God never looked for big to get a victory.
Amen.
Just look at Gideon's 300 men. You know, he started out with 30,000. He ended up with 300. And they defeated Midianites that couldn't be counted. So you and God, you're a majority. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we can be the people now in the new covenant, with no more wrath of God destroying stuff. We can build up the wall. We can stand before the Lord in the gap on behalf of our city, our state, our nation. We can be a wall builder through prayer. So be a gap filler through intercession.
Amen.
Pastor Sarah, you got it.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to be, and we can do it, church, right?
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to pray strong. We're going to pray strong, not just for the tent meeting. We don't just stop praying after the tent meeting's over. We want to continue praying for the people that will join us and be discipled, so that we can make fruit and fruit that remains. So pray strong. Pray in unity. Pray in faith. Pray in focus, on alert. And let's be those gap fillers and those wall builders. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.